herbs. How did you start into your herbal work? Where did you first begin to learn about it? Who taught you?
My grandmother and other people, other nations.
How exactly did your grandmother pass it on to you?
By showing me the foods. And we've learned from all our other relatives what we should be eating. How to make gardens. Because I come from a farm background. My father was a farmer. So were my grandparents. And when their relative moved, I guess maybe 3 generations ago, they moved in this area. They were farmers then. They were taught by the, I guess maybe by the residential schools how to farm. But they must have known that before because my grandfather and my grandmother cleared the land where my sister has a house now. That was where she was born. Well, she has a new house there. And that's where we learned. So that's who we were. My grandmother saw to it, on my father's side, saw to it that we were, that she married into a family that had land to perpetuate that, keepers of the land and keepers of the cultural aspect of it. And actually, she was a Munsee, Munsee Nation. And probably knew a lot more about the herbs and medicines than I do. But she was only just beginning to teach us. The rest I've learned from other nations where I've gone, where I've traveled. And I'm also a very avid reader, and my hobby is mostly into plants. Even though I don't know the botanical names of it, but I know I know how to eat them or how to use them.
With the wild plants, there's a tradition among a lot of Native people of not telling too much about certain parts of their work or their knowledge.
That's true. Yeah. I won't tell that either.
Yeah. Can you explain why?
Because we feel this is what we're the keepers of the land here, and we're expected to keep that on going as long as we can with our own lives. And if those people who have told what they know have been exploited, and knowing that our bodies are not made up the same as other European or African or whatever nations that come into contact on this part of North America or even South America, we've learned to adapt to all this. And one of the reasons why I feel this way is because a lot of our people are getting sick because they're used to the junk foods and the preservatives that are in there, and their systems can't cope with it. And some of the doctors have done some studies on that. And even the medications are being done, we don't know what's going to happen to us. What kind of medications we do take, that we should go back to our own natural plants, be that it's full of acid rain or whatever. See, we try to keep the environment as clean as possible, but a lot of our people have learned the other way too, so they're taking the convenient way of killing themselves much faster. But our people are living a little bit longer, even though we've had to cope with some of the diseases that have come to us. But there is a way of doing that, as to know and search out those people who know that knowledge.
You must feel, it's interesting because on the one hand, as a librarian, you're in a position to share information, but in certain ways you're also saying that in your role of keeping it, that means not to share it. Unless you're sure of the person you're sharing it with, or unless it's
yes,
a
because we choose who we want to share it with, and that's the way that is taught to us too. We don't go out and share it with other people, and unfortunately, if they would look around and find those people, or maybe a relative, or might be someone other, not a relative, but those people that have that knowledge would find someone who is willing to be able to carry on the tradition.
What kinds of plants in this area do you find yourself making use of and gathering?
Those people that are naturalists probably know just as much as we do of the natural foods and what to eat. And some have banded together, like, what's that naturalist group that's around here in London? I don't know how to pronounce. McGilthrith or Mick?
Yes.
Something like that. And some of the conservation people that know, and probably the botanists too, those who take botany or become botanists in at Western, or the conservation or that like to, that want to preserve, you know, the plants. They're just as knowledgeable as we are. They might not know some of the medicines, but and what they're used for, but they know what to eat too. So we sort of find like an alley with us, you know, that know, that want to keep, preserve the land and the environment.
What kinds of plants do you gather for your own personal use?
Whatever's around me whenever I need it.
Do you want, can you give us some examples?
Oh, you probably know about the chickweed, which is used in coffee of in the dandelion root, that's used for coffee. All the health food people know about it. And let's see what else is there. There's yarrow. And you see that in health food. I frequent the grains, beans, and things a considerable amount because they gather their material from organic places, like there's nothing has been fertilized, you know, to, it's done the natural way.
No chemicals.
No chemicals involved. And there are all kinds of books written about things. Non-Indians have written, they know quite a considerable amount too.
There was a woman, and I think it was a number of years ago, and I can't find the clipping anywhere. I saved it when I saw it in the newspaper, but she had compiled the non-medicine kind of information about a lot of the plants, and she was an elder, but something happened to the funding, and all the information had been gathered, but it never got printed. It was similar to you managed to get your printing done,
mm-hmm.
but this woman didn't. And I think she was from
I know her. I'm aware of that.
If the information is to be shared, must it be someone coming to you and saying, I want to know? Or do you say to yourself, look at those around you and say, you know, I would really like to pass on what I know to these people? Or do you do workshops or sessions?
I haven't done that yet. I just watch the younger ones or the older ones who I feel wouldn't exploit it. And they usually come to me, or if they're with me, I'll tell them if I figure that it doesn't go any further than what should be told.
One of the women we interviewed had told us that she's at Denise Beeswax. Sweetgrass baskets, and she said she had this private patch of sweetgrass, and that she wasn't aware of any more on the reserve. And yet we had noticed along the sides of the road some patches of sweetgrass as well. Do you think it's the case that some of the generations don't know how to recognize it
yes.
anymore?
Mm-hmm.
whether it's that, because what they tell us is that it doesn't exist.
It does exist. But only families are very protective of their territory.
Well, I was amazed because there was even a patch along the side of the road, and the mowers were coming along, and it was just being chopped down.
Well, you can smell it.
What is the importance to you of your knowledge of plants and herbs? Why is that important to Native people and to you?
Well, we're part of Mother Earth, and so are the plants, are our brothers and sisters. And each one has a male and a female plant. And we're here to protect the earth, or to keep it as much as clean as much as possible. That's what I feel about different plants. Of course, other people might not think about it that way. I know the government doesn't think of it that way, because they put it in the Indian Act as getting rid of obnoxious weeds. But then the Indian Act wasn't made for Indians, it was made for white people. But we still have to live with it.
Did you learn the medicine uses and are there plants that you use for religious rituals as well, for ceremonies?
Oh yes, I think it's common knowledge that everyone uses sweet grass. That's been widely written and widely acclaimed by other nations. And do you use cedar? Of course, that's been always written in books too, so, you know, general knowledge.
On your reserve, is there anyone else that really knows about the plants as you do?
Oh, there are certain people. We haven't really decided to come together and figure out what knowledge we could pass on, or what knowledge we know, what we know. But if they want to know, they'll just come and ask.
One of the things that, see, because I've heard that before, and I guess one of the questions I have in listening to that is that I hear two things said. One is I hear it said and felt very deeply, there is no one here who can do these things that I was asking about. And then as I would ask this individual and this one and this one and this one, it would become really clear that there are a tremendous number of resource people, many more than I thought, and clearly than some of the people in the community. And I don't think they were just holding back from me because I was non-Native. I think they sincerely believed that there weren't people available, that was lost, much as the sweet grass they think is lost, simply because they don't recognize it anymore. So if you wait for them to come to you, what if they don't know all the richness that you have to offer them? Feels almost like a paradox.
They're either coming for the good or they're coming for the evil part. And it's mostly, you know, I'll only tell. And it's probably common knowledge amongst our family anyway. We all know what things are good for. Our own within our own family. And if they say they don't know, if they say that people don't know anything about it, well, that's really because of their own ignorance. They don't want to know. Or they wasn't in at their particular time of life. They don't want to know that yet. I say yet. It depends on how they were brought up. Maybe they were brought up in certain aspect of the medicines. But I feel that because there is good in it, it's giving up.
Even have an opportunity. It's like there are people who have given up, not because of a lack of desire to learn, but because they believe that it's not available. You know, they believe, they sincerely believe that there are not people out there on their reserve who have that to offer.
That's because of the knowledge of who they don't know their own people.
So you think that with, as they know their community better,
mm-hmm.
that would come, and that's
that
the
would
way
come.
It should come?
That's the way it should come.
That's where my non-native ways.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to know about arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used to do beadwork. I can bead, but I'm not that good at doing it now. I have other interests. I've made sweetgrass basket. And I made a splint ash basket. But I don't keep it. I give it away just within the family. I know how to sew. I do my own shawls. I do my own Indian dress, both cloth and buckskin. But I don't bead anymore. I do my own shawls. With the fringes. I know where to get the material from. I say I was a buyer and seller of arts and crafts at one time as part of my student days. In turquoise and silver, I used to do that too. It was all part of our student program that we had at Northeastern Illinois in Chicago, and we ran a shop. We put $100 of our own monies in.
Did you really?
Yes. And then there was about, I forget how many there were, but anyway, we put $100 worth of our own monies in that we had as a student, and that's how we put the shop together. And then when we when they got rid of the shop, well, we got our money back, what we had put in.
Interesting. How important do you see the craft work being and the artwork being to Native culture? What does
that mean? It's an expression of where they feel and what they want to know and what they want to do with their lives. That's why I feel the craft work is important. But psychologically, most people, I would say this because I've taken some psychology courses and I've been told this by one of my mentors who was a Cherokee Delaware anthropologist. He said that maybe after the age of 40, when around the age of 40, one begins to find out who they are, and they begin to do things that they thought were lost in their lives because they did all their hell raising from teenage days into the, well into the 30s. And I can see that come true even within my own life, and I see that happening to others too.
This year, the same feeling. I also wonder too if it's not facing the fact that you're not going to live forever.
We all know that, yes.
Well, I knew that up here, but I didn't know it up here, and I suddenly realized, yes, I'm not going to live forever. And some people that I care for very much aren't going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that need to be done before I die.
I believe we're put on this earth to do a certain thing. And then once we finish that job, then we leave. But we also come back as either an animal or a plant.
It would be much easier than being a human. Do you feel that women have any kind of a special role or unique role in preserving Native culture?
Yes, I do, because actually we all come from Mother Earth, and so basically we're mostly we're all mothers, and there are some of us, like myself, maybe didn't have the blessing to become a mother. And that was usually a gift from the great Creator to do that. But there are other ways of helping out, because according to one nation that I know about, that my nieces and nephews are really my children, because I've had to take care of them, because the extended family always stayed together. That's what I believe in.
It's very true. My husband's family, his aunt raised him ever as much as his mother did, because it was a close, large family too. Do the women, do you think generally in the way families operate that women have more responsibility in passing on?
They do, because they're at home mostly with the children. If they're not at home, they have to take care of them. And the role of the woman has changed, you know, because they've had to pretty well go out and do in the workforce also. And the man's role has changed, and he's not a hunter or a gatherer anymore. In fact, I think that he really doesn't know what his role is. And actually, the only warriors that we do have are those who are in politics. And they do a bad job of that too sometimes, and I think women could do a much better job, because they have the understanding and they know how to manipulate their husbands or their men friends.
They have a different kind of power.
Different type of power.
Are you aware of any traditional stories that speak particularly of women's work or women's role?
I'm not aware of on the Chippewa, so of course it could be only reading through books on that. But I'm aware of more of the Iroquois and how that works in their system, in their society. Mainly because we've been so close to them. And the Chippewas had never brought their religion with them when they came in this area. That religion is still in the northwestern Ontario and Minnesota and Wisconsin here. And it's a very secretive society. And they only tell you what they want to know, or give it to those who they feel would be helpful. But I don't want to mess with any of that, because it is very dangerous. If I was born into that society, you know, that's probably what I have to carry on, but I'm not born in that. So we have what they call pan-Indianism, a combination of other tribes, and call it the native religion and ceremonies, so it's like an incorporation of other tribes in there.
How does that blend for the people you know of Christianity, those people who still see themselves as Christian?
I think they have a problem with that. I see those people that wanted to become involved in powwows, and they went to church, and they've had a problem with figuring out which way to go. You either go one or the other. Like, I either go Indian way or I go the white way. And I've chosen to travel both ways with one foot in each way, so that I've taken the best of both worlds and used it to the advantage that I know how.
Looks like you've done it really skillfully. Were there crafts that you remember? This doesn't need to be on the tape. I have a couple of.